This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Text just in from Bobby Belt to Broadus and Dawson says, I'm starting a new G-Bag group text for the people I'm speaking with on this show. Love you, too. Love you, too, Bob. Sorry about coming up short there in the G-Bag of the day at 2:30. Unbelievable. But a great song and a talented man there, that Bobby Belt.
Worthy of honorary five-time champ.
Very worthy.
Definitely, no question.
Definitely worthy of that. Okay, it's time now for Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day. Here's Zach.
All right, so we had the Colorado Pro Day today. It has wrapped up, and Shador Sanders, courtesy of our buddy Eric Galco, who runs the Shrine Bowl, was there. He said that, Shador went 58 for 63. Three incompletions were clear drops on the receivers, then went perfect in the two-minute drill afterwards. It was an awesome performance for Shador. Travis Hunter was out there catching balls. He did not run, though. So we didn't get a 40 time or anything on Travis Hunter today.
That's
but
whack.
All in all, sounded like a good day for Shador. The Giants were in attendance there. Brian Daboll, their general manager, their assistant GM, all were there. The Saints had some representation, but it did not appear that Kellen Moore was in attendance. So Scott Tolzien, former Cowboys quarterback coach, now the quarterback coach there in New Orleans, along with their wide receivers coach Keith Williams, were there, and they're getting live looks at Shador and Travis Hunter. Now the stuff with the Giants, it's interesting. There are reports from certain insiders with the Giants. They don't believe they're going to get a chance at either of these quarterbacks. So they had an NFL executive is convinced that the Browns are going to take Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders, number two, one spot ahead of the Giants. So the primary takeaway was the Giants don't appear overly confident they're going to find their quarterback in the future in this year's draft, which is why they've gone ahead and added Jameis and Russell Wilson, because they think that the quarterbacks are going 1-2, which has been my belief the entire time of the draft. Now, if the Giants are saying it, kind of makes me think that that's not going to happen, because the Giants have been proven to really not have a good understanding of what the hell is going to go on around them. But we also did have Deontay Banks, their corner. He was wearing number three last year. He gave the number three to Russell Wilson, and what is the new jersey that he pivoted to? Number two. So Giant fans' takeaway is, well, what the hell number would Shador wear if he got drafted by the Giants? Because Shador wears number two. So the Giants seem all in on the belief that they're not going to get a chance at either of these top two quarterbacks. They'll go 1-2 in this year's draft. We'll wait and see how it plays out.
It's honestly a heady play by that guy. Yep. You switch to two, and you get something for it if Shador ends up with the Giants.
Yeah. Today we've had, you know, the workouts for the Cowboys. The first day is going to be April 14th, according to Nick Harris. Rookie minicamps will be May 2nd to the 5th or the 9th to the 12th. OTAs will also be in May 19th to the 20th, the 22nd. They'll have the mandatory minicamps on June 10th to 12th. Still don't have the dates official yet for training camp, but I'm sure we'll get those very soon, sometime after the draft. Now, This is also one that's a developing story where I saw The Athletic had a whole write-up this week about the Browns possibly tanking for Arch Manning.
I was going to bring that up.
So today we had Adam Schefter's
corner
reporting.
No, I was going to bring it up when you started talking about the Browns potentially taking a quarterback at two.
So and maybe they will, because maybe they're also getting a word. And I know, you know, what people that we've talked to at Texas have firmly believed this as well. But Schefter is saying that there's no guarantee that Arch Manning enters the draft after this year.
True.
So he might stay, and this has kind of been the plan, would be for him to start 2 years at Texas. And really, he has followed the plan that Sark and his dad had in place for him the entirety of the time. You don't transfer. You sit behind Quinn. You let Quinn do his thing. When your time comes, you're going to start for 2 years. You're going to enter the draft. Now, if he wins the Heisman, takes Texas to a national championship,
that's where the rub is.
Maybe right something could pivot, right? Yeah. Yeah. But if it doesn't happen, where it's like perfect storyline, maybe he does stay for 2 years.
Sure.
And it's draft 2027. So if the Browns are considering, ooh, you tank for Arch or any other team, you might not have the luxury of picking him next year.
No, and I think you're absolutely right. The thing that you have to keep an eye on is, does Texas make a playoff run? Does Texas get deep in the playoffs? And does Texas potentially win the national championship? If all those things were to happen, I think all bets are off for Arch coming back.
I also don't think a team like Cleveland can feel confident that, I mean, we've seen the Mannings strong-arm this thing before. The idea that you're just going to sit there at one and think it's all going to be gravy taking Arch Manning is probably fool's gold.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I would let my kid go there. You know, if in our family history we had successfully put Eli in New York, I'm doubling down on that strategy. There's no way we're going to Cleveland. There's no way we're going to the Jets. Anybody else you want to add to it? Not that I'm aware of, but, I mean, at least those two. But other than that, you know, I just think it's a testament to the Manning family, and nobody's perfect, but you set this kid up to have this tremendous experience where he gets to go to a college and stay there and be part of a program and not be jumping around university trying to start right out of the gates. You give him a normal experience, and it's difficult to do. I think in a lot of other family situations, you got money to worry about. You got to make sure the kid's got the absolute best opportunity to get to the NFL. But, you know, obviously they have a lot of luxuries on their side. And as a result, you know, I think they're doing it right. You know, kid gets to be a regular college student, kind of bide his time, not be in a rush, enjoy his process. And, you know, ultimately when he's done, he'll look at the University of Texas and Austin as a second home, right? And a place that he can always go back and, you know, have as this great part of his life. Instead of this crazy, hectic checkerboarding around the U.S. trying to find a starting job.
No, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how the season goes. And then what the decision is for Arch, because I would assume he's the favorite to be the number one overall pick next year if he came out. But if he stays, it'd be interesting. So what do the Browns do? Well, here was Diana Rossini earlier this week, Scoop City Podcast with Chase Daniel. There is a quarterback that still hasn't been traded that could make a lot of sense for Cleveland.
They still have so many questions at quarterback, which brings us to Kirk Cousins. Is that a real thing for Atlanta to trade Kirk to Cleveland? From my sense, yes.
Wow.
I don't know how far along it is right now. I just know there's enough smoke around this and enough conversations being had that this would not be a surprising move. Knowing Kevin Stefanski coached Kirk Cousins when he was in Minnesota, it makes a lot of sense on why that would work.
It does make sense. But what doesn't is taking on Kirk Cousins' contract when you're also paying Deshaun Watson a ridiculous amount of money to essentially not play for you. And that is the report today out of Cleveland, is that they are not going to trade for Kirk Cousins because they're unwilling to absorb his contract via trade. So now Kirk prefers to be cut by Atlanta. That is the new thing coming out of 92.3 The Fan. Mm. Kirk is asking to be cut loose, explaining that the Falcons would be expected to eat the majority of what's left on his deal, which is $180 million, to facilitate any kind of trade. That, of course, would be pending Cousins' own approval of a move to Cleveland, considering the veteran has a no-trade clause on his deal. Mm. So they could just cut him outright, which they appear that they don't want to do. They'd rather have him there as a backup, even though he's already said, I'm not coming to the offseason stuff. I want to go play somewhere where I can start. So this is getting a little messy.
Well, yeah, they butchered that, too, because they had a roster bonus
they
due
did.
In, like, March,
and
didn't
they? Picked
they
it up
they
a couple
gave
weeks
it to
ago.
Them. They paid it.
$10 million. They really should have made something happen. And if you're Kirk Cousins, I don't think you can demand they release you. They have so much invested in you, so much to lose if they just move on from you. It's like, sorry, but what's in our best interest if nobody wants to trade for you in this contract is to have you as, you know, a luxury backup. Maybe yeah. Penix has injury history. We have a lot of reasons for wanting to keep you around.
And if you're Atlanta, maybe you could just play this out until after the draft, see how the quarterback dominoes fall there, mm-hmm. and maybe Pittsburgh's still looking for a quarterback, maybe Cleveland's still looking for a quarterback, New Orleans, name the team, and maybe they're able to get a team that plays ball, at least maybe not take on all of the contract, but make it to where it's not you're paying for the full 100% of it. Maybe it's a 50-50 kind of deal. But it'll be I'm sure that'll be the quarterback everyone's targeting post-draft. Whoever doesn't get their guy, Kirk Cousins, will be the name that's floated around. This was stunning to see today that the Bengals stadium lease has given the franchise the option to leave Cincinnati after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So their lease expires on June 30th, 2026. They've been playing in that stadium since 2000. So after this expires, they now have the opportunity to move and leave Cincinnati if that's what they wanted to do. So they've tried to do an upgrade proposal of $1.2 billion that could take 4 years to complete. We'll see if the taxpayers in Cincy want to go ahead and do that to help out the stadium, and they end up getting a new term on the lease to keep the Bengals in Cincinnati. But we've talked a lot about Jacksonville. Like, maybe that's the team that leaves. But now Cincy could be the team that's on the move.
Where would it go?
I know. I'm trying to figure out where it makes sense.
Like, is this Mexico City?
I don't know. I don't know if this would be, like, out of the country or if this would be a sexy...
It'll be a domestic deal. I would have to imagine. But what city, what state...
I don't think they leave.
I think that they're going to work.
It's all posturing,
right?
More than likely.
The Brown family.
It's a threat.
The Brown family is Ohio based. This is a threat that they will move. Paul Brown would roll over in his grave if his family took that team out of Ohio. They're just posturing now. Katie Blackburn Brown, or I think it's Brown Blackburn, whatever. She's just posturing right now is what she's doing. She's trying to get and the people in the city council and over that of Cincinnati know that. And they're like, "Fine. You want to move your team? Move your team." But she that family is tied to Ohio.
Yeah.
And I feel like they have a great
fan
base.
No way they move that team. No way.
The fan base will approve whatever needs to be approved.
Sure. Katie's just right now, and she's got leverage because it's very rare that a team gets to the point where their stadium lease is up, and especially an NFL team, you know.
Now, so. I guess Mike Brown did flirt in 95 with moving to Baltimore. This is prior to the Browns doing it.
Yeah.
And then they stayed. They gave their stamp of approval to build a new stadium. So this is really kind of just history repeating itself where they threatened. They got the approval, and so hopefully that's exactly what happens. Because I can't imagine – I don't want any of these NFL teams to leave their current cities. It looks painful to me. Like what the Rams fans dealt with, it sucks.
Unless we could move one to the fairgrounds or something, right? You know, have two NFL teams here in North Texas. That'd be pretty fun.
There was a time –
Mayor Johnson of Dallas floated that idea.
There was a time I would have said, go kick rocks on that.
The Dallas Bengals? Would it still be the Bengals, or would it be the Dallas Mountain Lions? Don't you guys get some Mountain Lions?
I don't know. You know,
Sunnyvale?
Yeah, I think we have had a couple, you know, recently. Pretty terrifying.
Wildcats?
Wildcats kind of works. A lot of different things you could do. Wildcatting, you know.
Be fun.
Might infringe on Jerry's brand, but
I could.
That's exactly what you'd be doing.
The Lions president is hinting.
San Antonio would probably take a team.
San Diego would take a team right now.
There you go, San Diego. I was thinking Salt Lake City.
San Diego would probably love you to get a team back. Now, are they finally willing to get a new stadium?
Oh, yeah, they will.
I mean, because then we could finally get Super Bowls back in San Diego.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Let's get San Diego back to football. Go get Rangers.
Go get Rangers. The Lions president is hinting that they're going to be playing on Christmas Day.
And Thanksgiving?
And Thanksgiving. Wow. Doubling down. He said, I know we're a big TV draw, so I wouldn't rule out that they might ask us to do it. I do think for our fans, asking them to give up Thanksgiving and Christmas to come to a game is a big ask, so I've tried to avoid it, but we'll see what the schedule comes out with.
Yeah, you can make that work. You know, either you sell your tickets or maybe it's a family thing and you all go. Maybe you can Uber, get in, get out 3 hours. You know, you can still take care of the Christmas in the morning and dinner at night.
He thinks they're going to be playing at home for both games. I mean, the NFL could say Detroit. Get your ass on the road.
I thought you were going to say it's a bold assumption that all their fans celebrate Christmas, old Chuck.
Well, that's also true. That's also very true.
They have a pretty large Jewish fan base with the Lions.
Hey, they could. I mean, Muslim fan base, maybe. There's a lot of other religions that don't celebrate Christmas, but I wasn't thinking that. But that also is true. That's also a good point.
It's an astute point.
Lamar Jackson is challenging Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s trademark claim for number 8.
Oh, that number 8.
Yeah.
He already went after our guy, Troy.
Yeah, so last year he did. He challenged the 8 beer apparel on bags and whatnot. So now he's turned to Dale Jr., pending his trademark claim for a stylized number 8 Earnhardt has used for his junior motorsports race team. Jackson attorneys filed a notion of opposition yesterday with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Offices, saying that Junior's claim would conflict with the two-time NFL MVP's Era 8 brand. Is there not enough room for all of these 8s to just work?
I don't know how you can trademark a number. It seems off to me.
Sounds ridiculous. I'm
not sure how those trademark rules work.
Me neither.
But, you know, I don't know. I would say go be an iconic 8. You know, go own that thing. Go make yourself awesome. I don't think if you asked a lot of football fans right now what numbers Lamar Jackson, I don't think more than half of them would tell you 8. It's not like it's a 23 situation where you're like, wow, or a number 10 in soccer. You know, you're trying hard to make this 8 a brand, but this is the first time I've ever heard of it, you know, is when you're going after Aikman or now you're going after Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Well, and maybe it's get yourself a championship.
Yes.
And then we can really push for the branding of the 8.
But even beyond that.
Maybe get you 3 if you want to even get neck and neck with our guy.
Can't trademark numbers.
No, we're not doing that. Last thing here to leave you with, Andrew Filippone of The Fan in Pittsburgh, former NFL GM, told him that the Steelers are open for business on George Pickens. That's why they've brought in Matthew Golden for a visit. So not only did they trade for DK Metcalf, they could possibly, if a quarterback's not available, take a wide receiver there at 21 in the first round, and they're looking to get rid of the headache that some say George Pickens, their wide receiver, is. Might be worth noting.
Yeah, worth noting. Interesting. Filippone's the guy who floated Najee Harris to the Cowboys.
He did. And now, he was right that Najee wasn't going back to Pittsburgh, the Cowboys stuff wasn't real.
All righty. Well, there you have it. NFL News of the Day is now in the books there with Zach Wolchuk here in the G-Bag Nation. It's a tournament weekend. It's a Rangers Series weekend here. Everybody coming out. Wall Supplies Last going to get a Peagle bobblehead presented by Golden Chick tonight. It's going to be a great night at the ballpark. And Pudge is signing autographs for the first 225 fans coming up behind Section 101 at 5:15. If you're planning to come out early, might want to put that on your radar as well. Time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening live at the Globe coming up next in the G-Bag.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We are live at the Globe here. It's the G-Bag Nation in the Comerica backyard. Join us center field. We're watching Rangers batting practice right now. They're 5-2. They host the Rays tonight, first of three. And it should be a great night here at the ballpark. Great weekend. And it's a Peagle bobblehead night tonight presented by Golden Chick. If you're on your way to the yard, maybe get here a little bit early. A lot of good stuff going on as always. Of course, a former Cowboys scout, the Super Bowl champ, Brian Broaddus, with you every day here on your home of the Cowboys, doing the draft show every day. Anything buzzing there? We go on quiet here after the Joe Milton trade. What's
Yeah, they're working on 30 visits now. So you might, if you're following along on social media and stuff, you might see Jerry Jones. These players love, even if they don't play here, get drafted here, they love to take a picture with Jerry, and he's more than accommodating for that. And so, yeah, it's they've had a couple of the Ohio State running backs had both been here. Judkins yesterday and Henderson today. So, you know, they're working through that here the next couple of days. They got the Dallas Day stuff they got done, and then they're going to – then it turns into once you get past the 30 visits, then they start building that board. So we'll start kind of maybe hearing some things, some whispers that guys they like or where they have their stack on some of their guys, maybe here in the next week or so.
Next week or so we'll start to hear whispers of how they got them stacked, who they like. There have been a number of reporters throwing out 30 visit reports. I know Todd Archer.
He's been really good on it.
Mentioned Tet McMillan.
Yeah.
Matthew Golden. Luther Burden, the wide receiver from Missouri, who Dez says is special. That's the wide receiver Dez is picking.
He's my second best receiver on my board. But there's, you know, Zach will tell you that there's teams, and this is where I got to get with Gang of Seven, is to figure out what are the things. Is there something that is, I don't think there's anything criminal keeping him from getting drafted. I just wonder if it's from a management standpoint of the player that people are getting turned off. Yeah, that's the part that we need to get to. But I don't think it's anything that it's domestic violence or alcoholism or drug. I don't think it's any of that.
Yeah. You hear the diva word gets thrown. But, I mean, that's a receiver. So, I mean, to me, it's a little weird. I mean, he was a guy that was a consensus top 15 pick, it seemed like, and now he's kind of fallen out of the first round. So he certainly is an explosive playmaker. I've got him as my personal wide receiver five. There's some guys that I just like better. But, I mean, if they want to add juice to the position, he certainly is a guy that's going to provide that. A
couple of Longhorns linemen have I've been scheduled for 30 visits or have already been here. The offensive lineman, Kelvin Banks, and the defensive tackle, Alfred Collins. Siobhan Revelle, East Carolina corner.
This is an interesting one here.
Why is that?
Just because that's a first-round talent that's coming off a knee injury, and you wonder if he is going to get to you at 44. And I know that when they come on these 30 visits, you know, the trainers will get to – look at him a little bit more. They saw him at the combine. They go home. They do workouts and stuff like that, and they get ready. And then so Jim Maurer, Britt Brown, those guys, when these players come through, if there's any medical things that they need to check on, then they will get it done there. But this is a first-round talent
definitely
that might slide to you at 44, like what you did with Diggs.
That would
because
be exciting.
Diggs went from the possibility of 17 and went all the way to 60, but – this kid will, well, I'll tell you what, if he got there at 44, that would be really special for you.
They're bringing in the Aggies defensive lineman, Shamar Stewart, as well. Consideration at 12, right? He's not a 44 guy.
No, he's a 12.
Yeah, he's going to be probably a top 20 pick. I believe they had dinner last night with him, so he's coming down. I think Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle from Ole Miss, is in today.
And that's interesting because Walter Nolan, guys, is a three technique. You know, he's really, you know, and then you've got, you know, with Thomas, you know, that you signed, and then also with Osa being redone, you would figure maybe they wouldn't be into that market, but it might be that Solomon Thomas, just a one-year deal, and, you know, could they? But it's I personally wouldn't take him at 12 myself, but if he was there at 44, I'd absolutely make that call.
The other name on Todd Archer's list is the running back from Va Tech. Is it Basil? Basil Tootin?
Basil Tootin.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched him?
Yeah. He's a hell of a player.
He's an interesting guy because he ran, if you go to at the combine, he was like in the 4.3s.
Yeah, he was a 4.3 guy.
And so you're sitting there, and there's times where you feel like that go, wow, does he really, really have that 4.3 speed? And he's able to separate. So, yeah, you do see him being able to do that. He's one of these guys, too. He was one of the best in the country when it came to rushes of 15-plus yards.
He's a chunk guy.
He is. Like 54% of his runs were breakaway runs, what they consider breakaway runs. And so, man, the guy plays with contact balance. He can break tackles. He kind of plays sideways as a ball carrier. He's in that sidecar, and then they hand it to him, and then he just takes off because he's got the quickness, he's got the vision, and he's got the speed that he can make that work. He's 5'9", 206. So he's built really, really low to the ground. He's fumbled the ball eight times, though, the last two seasons.
Yeah, that's an issue.
And so word from talking to some scouts about him is the majority of those fumbles came from second contact. So just trying to run tough, and then he loses the ball.
But he makes the first man miss consistently. I mean, he averaged 105 yards per game. So, I mean, it's really just the size is the question. If you remember Michael the Burner Turner, who played with the Atlanta Falcons and the Chargers, he kind of reminded me a little bit of him, and he also adds value as a kick and punt returner.
Yeah, but he does – the thing about Zach, I don't know if you saw this, he doesn't – they don't throw him the ball. He's not one of these – like, there's some guys in this draft – that you absolutely, I mean, they just, they're receivers.
Yeah.
Like the Blues and guys like that. I watched the kid from Syracuse last night that was.
Oh, Allen?
Allen. That, you know, he's got 60-something receptions to go along with the 1,200 yards he has running the ball.
Yeah, but Tootin, I don't think that's his fault, though, because you'll see some plays.
Oh, no,
like,
they'll leak out and dump it to him.
Yeah, they just don't throw the ball. He's not running routes down the field, but I think he's very capable of doing it.
All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. There's a little C-note for you. Cowboys news of the evening most every day at 3:20 here on The Fan. We are at the Globe today, home of the Rangers, and they're going to take on the Rays coming up. At 7 o'clock, we're just 3.5 hours from baseball, 20 days from the draft, okay? And
it's a good time.
Obviously, the Dallas Stars kicking butt, taking names, winners of 7 in a row. There's a lot of great stuff going on right now in the world of sports. Sean McFarland has a piece up today on Sebastian Wolcott trying to put on a show for the fans every night and how one day soon he could end up being the top prospect in all of baseball. He's, you know, consensus top 20. In some people's list, he's a top five, just depending on who you're looking at. But Wolcott has all the makings of an absolute superstar. His quote in here, people think baseball is boring. I'm here to show people that it is not. Mm. So, you know, he's got like this desire and this passion and love for the game, and he plays it with a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. But if he can get up here, you know, pretty quick and start to give you options in your middle infield, I think you got to look at it. Right now we're dealing with another injury for Corey Seager. He's obviously getting up there. He's never been an above-average shortstop to begin with. And Semien at second base, you have not had a teenager in the big leagues since Juan Soto in 2019. So and he's actually the youngest player to reach Double-A last season. So this is like superstar trajectory type of stuff. If he does show up here as Triple-A gets going and absolutely dominates, I don't know how you can avoid this type of situation. As we're saying hi to all the Rangers staffers here. They're coming by. It's great to be back at the ballpark. But
it's a guy, Justin, man.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
Yeah, big time Tolo. He'll be working the bar probably downstairs.
Might go pay him a visit.
But what do you think about that, Wolchuk? The idea of Wolcott, if he tears up the minor leagues, being a guy that, you know, we're watching Young Hurt, we're watching Evan Carter, you know, career like fail to really pick up where it left off. I think if you really want to open this championship window with authority and be a dominant team, I don't think you should be waiting around too much longer for Wolcott.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you just wait and see. Maybe second half of the season. And it could probably be an injury-related deal that would push him up. I'm not expecting to see him this year. But if he keeps performing, man, sometimes these guys are just special. And it'd be a hell of a story. And it would probably mean you're looking to retool some stuff with your infield. I guess there would have to be a conversation with Seager. Like, do you move him to first base? I think he wants to stay at short as long as he can. But you got to know that, hey, if Sebastian Wolcott's ready and able to come up, maybe there's something where he can play second for you if something's going on with Marcus Semien. There's ways that you can get creative with this if indeed he forces your hand, but typically these things have kind of a way of resolving themselves, and that might be how this plays out in the second half of the season for the Rangers. It's a good problem to have.
Good article from McFarland today there in the morning news if you want to read it through your afternoon while you're getting ready for tonight's game here. It's an Apple TV game. Might be a little bit tricky, so maybe you just do like Broadus tonight and listen to all the games.
That's all I do.
And, Nadel,
and no
Hicksy.
Disrespect to Dave Raymond and Mike. They do a fine job, but I do. I love listening to Eric and to Jared and Hicksy and those guys. I just kind of gotten used to it. So while I'm watching tape, it's an easy thing to do. So appreciate all the hard work they do.
I have had a calming presence when they're in Cincinnati. We get off at 5 o'clock, whatever, cruising home, listening to the game.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I like it for weekend games especially because I'm usually doing stuff around the house, playing with the kids, and just having it on. I don't know. There's something timeless about it. It's amazing. It Brian, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, what are the teams that draft the best? We'll talk about those next.
Thank you very much, Ross, in for Lucius today. Lucius will be back on Monday. We're live at the Globe, and tonight Rangers host the Rays. Tickets still available. It's time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the King, Brian.
Thank you, General, and thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. You heard the promo. We got the next Thursday. We got Draft 101. At the studio. So really excited with the work that we're going to be with our guys at DallasCowboys.com and then the 105.3, the guys. So we have a full stage. It's going to be like a...
at 105.3 The Fan, and yeah. It's free of charge?
Yeah.
And there's Whataburger?
And there's Whataburger show, yeah.
And the Wooly Bully?
Yeah, Wooly Bully. You can come and ask him questions. I mean, he'll tell
Let's
you.
Go.
He's
ask the questions.
He'll answer all your questions for you. So really, really excited about that. The Draft 101 is always fun. I had a guy last year. We did this at the Star in Frisco, and a guy came up to me and goes, afterwards, he goes, hey, Bros, I really, really enjoy your work. Thanks for everything you do. And I'm like, great, man. And, you know, he goes, I got a question. I go, man, why didn't you, we had questions. Why didn't you?
We already had Q&A, bro. Yeah, we'll see you next
no,
year.
No, I was just kind of, I was asking. Shy. He was being shy. And I said, well, yeah, what do you got? He goes, well, I'm a Lions fan.
Okay.
That's why he didn't want to ask the question.
It's okay. We do the draft show. Yeah. Always cool. Said this. We do the draft show for everybody.
He's like, well, I was a Lions fan. I didn't want to speak up. I didn't want to go, hey, Brian, I'm thinking about who the Lions are going to take. Da, da, da. He didn't want to do that. But listen.
Good of him to know his role and keep his mouth shut, if you ask me.
But that's what kind of the draft show is,
yeah,
though, in a way.
That's what it's all about.
You know, it's about, we have a, it's like for everybody. I love it when people say, hey, I'm not a fan of the Cowboys. I'm a Buccaneers fan. I love the work you guys do and stuff like that. That makes it for me all the worth the while. If I could also circle back real quick. You know, we had the whole thing, Dawson, about you changing tires.
Yeah, the bicycle tires.
Yeah. Well, people were going after me now on X about not doing it.
No, the text was lighting up about how much of sissies we are.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And I'll admit.
I'm going to do it. I take that as a challenge. I'm going to do it.
I will say this, though. There are people that are like, hey, you're right. You're right. But, yeah, Chuck Cooperstein, he tweeted at me. He says, right there with you, Brian. In the old days, maybe. Now, not a chance of changing a tire.
I'm just figuring the tire shop's going to ding me $25 or $30 per tire. I don't think the bike's worth $50.
Yeah, but you would be happy to pay that just so you don't have to get everything, leave parts off. You're like, oh, geez, where was this supposed to go?
Possible, but yeah. I figure now I can watch probably a 30-second YouTube video on it, and I might get out of it for $12. I might just get out of it for the price of parts. And with how easy the tech says it is.
They say it's easy. This
is my skill level. I'm in.
You've been able to put stuff together in the backyard. I think he might be capable.
Fairly handy. I'm not going to be able to build anything from scratch.
We're
but if
self-aware.
If you give me instructions. Now, if it was a 10-speed and I had to take the tire off and put the tire back on.
With and, the gears and all that gear, stuff.
I'd be out. Totally out. But this is a kid's bike.
Man, I wish you luck, because I would look at that project that I would have leftover pieces, oh, where was that wing nut? I was supposed to put that on something, and then all of a sudden my kid's riding the bike and the wheel flies off or something like that.
Yeah.
There's mechanics when I go to these races that don't get the tire, that don't get the wheels on right,
yeah.
And the wheel just flies off. So if those professional dudes are letting wheels fly off,
yeah,
the cars. What are the chances I'm going to get that done?
Zero. Well, I think I can handle it.
Zero.
I took the training wheels off of that bike 11 years ago when Abby was learning how to ride.
Yeah.
And now Remy gets her turn on it, put him back on, and I'm excited. I'm thrilled for her. You know, she's not going to be going that fast, so if I don't put the tire back on properly, the damage will be minimal.
Were we with the kids with helmets and all that stuff? Were we? the helmet. They wear helmets.
Yeah. We're doing helmets this year.
All the helmets and stuff.
You will get judged by the neighbors if your kids don't have helmets.
I don't know.
Chief
just kind of gave me like a...
I got to up my helmet game. I really do. My kids have been doing the scooter stuff now. These last few weeks, they've been really popping off with the scooters. It's been a fun deal. But the shoes, sometimes they'll go barefoot on me.
Ooh.
They're going to learn. They're learning the hard way. Ooh. A couple times. Yeah.
That's true.
It's going to get you. But the helmet stuff, I need to order some helmets.
Need to get up, okay.
I didn't realize they were all going to be dialed on the scooter at this point. Even the 2.5-year-olds.
They can get moving.
Yeah.
It's
pretty impressive. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, we got to get some helmets.
If they fall a couple times, they'll learn.
Yeah.
I should probably do something about this.
But learning, just give it a Google. Learning could be a trip to the...
It could be.
You know?
Stitches later. Yeah. Yep, that's absolutely true.
Kid walking around with a cast.
Just
to
slide in some news for you here, Brian.
Go ahead.
Adam Schefter reporting Trey Lance has a new home. He's agreed on a one-year deal worth up to $6.2 million with the Chargers.
Oh.
So the Chargers have brought him in to back up Herbert and Taylor Heineke, the Heine man, the lizard.
Oh, yeah. Green lizard.
That is interesting. But you know what's interesting about kids with bikes these days is once they get to about 10 or 12, they're not going to go anywhere near a traditional bike. It's all the motorized bikes.
Oh, really?
They're basically riding motorcycles around neighborhoods these days. Nobody's actually pedaling, which is a shame because it builds good cardio and leg strength.
Yeah.
You know, for your youth sports.
Yeah. I did have a mini bike. It was pretty cool. It was better than my regular bike. The mini bike?
Yeah.
Like
a little 80cc?
Like a crotch rocket?
Like a little dirt bike. It was tiny.
Yeah, we called them mini bikes.
Dad and I went to let's go get a football, and we ended up buying a mini bike.
Got a bike.
My dad just we didn't even get the football. He just saw the mini bike, and he's like,
he couldn't help himself.
He couldn't help himself. He's like, does it come as is? You know, my dad, again, he didn't want to put the damn thing together. And they're like, that's how
it
is. And dad goes, let's wheel it out. Let's go. He paid for it, and we had a mini bike for a long time. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. All right. This is according to Pro Football Focus. Would you like to take a guess? And this is since 2020. And this has to do with their grades and whether you like their grading scale or not. This is their way of saying which teams draft the best. Would you like to take a guess?
Ooh, since 2020.
Rams?
Yeah, the Rams were...
Since 2020. Okay,
Rams
let me
say good.
This. I'm going to split it up for you.
Okay.
Offensively, which NFL team, according to Pro Football Focus,
Lions,
has drafted the best offensively? First round picks.
Okay, just first rounders.
First round picks.
The Lions are still probably up there.
Since 2020, NFL Pro Football Focus.
Because they got Penei Sewell.
You got Jameson Williams. You've got Jahmyr Gibbs.
Jameson Williams was a first round guy?
Yeah.
Yep. He
was? Okay. Yeah, so, I mean... And now you don't get the Laporta love.
No, that was a second rounder.
But
I think all of those are going to be challenging for other people to beat.
Bengals?
Bingo. The Bengals.
Chase.
Oh, Burrow.
Burrow was 2020.
Burrow's in there. Mims.
Yeah.
Amarius Mims.
Well, having Burrow alone
is
going to put you up there.
Yeah. Would you like to take a guess at number two? Now, Detroit was number three.
Okay.
Detroit's third.
Three.
Yeah. This next team has four players, and their PFF grade got them to 95.1. But it's four players on this team, and they're number two.
Okay.
I don't think it's the Eagles. I don't think they've had enough picks there because they traded for A.J. Brown. So I don't think it's the Eagles.
Houston.
Minnesota.
Ooh, Minnesota.
Jefferson,
Darisal, Addison, McCarthy. Yeah.
We forget about
J.J. McCarthy is in there. Lions are three, as you mentioned. The Atlanta Falcons are tied with this team at four at 91.3. Would you like to take one more guess at what this team would be?
Is it an AFC team?
Offense. No, it's an NFC team.
Seattle?
Not Seattle.
Green Bay.
Nope.
The Bears?
Your Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
They're giving you credit for CeeDee Lamb, Tyler Smith, and Tyler Guyton.
All right, so you've hit two of the three, and we'll see if the third one hits.
Yeah.
What do they like about Tyler Guyton?
I think it's more about CeeDee Lamb. Let's see. the thing that they don't have a common one, but the Cowboys tied with the Falcons. You tied with Pitts, London, Bijan Robinson, and Michael Penix.
I mean, Lamb and Smith are a couple of big hits. So I guess, you know, it's not that weighted for number three.
I mean, Guyton's in there like Mims is in there for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, neither were awesome their rookie year, but they've got potential.
Not
upside.
Terrible. Yeah. Okay, on the team that's the worst, the teams that are worst, and I won't make you guess, but I'll just tell you, unless you'd like to guess who number one is. Since 2020, this team's offensive grade, but they've been the worst with offensive players.
Is it the Giants? Well, they got Neighbors was a hit for them.
Cleveland.
It's the Colts.
Ooh.
And they mentioned Anthony Richardson is the one there for them.
Yeah, that's
Tennessee
rough.
Would be the next worst. Then Cleveland with Wills. Then the Carolina Panthers and the Las Vegas Raiders would be the top five.
That makes sense.
For the worst. Now, what team do you think drafts the best when it comes to defense?
The Ravens and the Rams.
Is this Eagles, just first round?
But just first
just
round.
Just first round
Ravens.
Since 2020 PFF grades, defensive grades, first round picks since 2020.
Texans. Stingley and Will Anderson.
The Texans are number four.
Where are the Eagles?
The Eagles are not on this list.
I mean, the Ravens should have Kyle Hamilton, Nate Wiggins.
Not the Ravens.
No, okay.
It's your Dallas Cowboys.
Because of Micah?
Micah and Mozzie Smith.
Oh, my God.
So it's basically weighted by one player.
Yeah.
Is what it is. If you have one or if you have one or two players that are essentially like the best,
yeah, if you told me who would you rather have as drafting, would you rather have Micah and Mozzie or Stingley and Will Anderson?
Yeah, I'm taking the Texans.
Same here.
I don't know. Micah does make a tremendous impact though. I think that's telling, like if you can get that one right and he is that damn good. You got to build harder around this guy.
Number two for the defense also is the Rams. They got with Jared Verse. The Jets are number three with Sauce Gardner, Jermaine Johnson, and Will McDonald. Mm-hmm. We mentioned about the Texans. And then the Broncos with Pat Surtain.
Yeah.
That makes them the fifth best team. Real quickly here before we get out of here, the worst teams, the Titans, the Chargers, the Saints, the 49ers,
ooh,
and the Raiders.
Yeah, makes
those
sense.
Those are your top
all
five.
All those teams picking high in this year's
those
draft.
Those are the worst, the best and the worst teams, according to Pro Football Focus, when it comes to first-round picks.
Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner is in the book. Salute to Nate Devlin. He is the director of Authentics for your Texas Rangers. And he just brought a couple of a batting practice baseballs by. It's nice. See that right there? That's a circle change.
Yeah.
Can hear old Tim McCarver explaining it in my ears right now. Okay, baseball is in the air. It is back. Your Texas Rangers off to a 5-2 start. They host the Rays tonight. But it's an NCAA tournament weekend as well. And Ari Temkin joins us next to talk it here on The Fan.